you realize God used poor, diseased lepers as the forefront and the pioneers to go in and to show the people of God what was possible. We sing this. Whose report will you believe? I've given much thought to this message this morning because when most people call me to speak at a conference or to speak at their church, they say, I want you to speak on this subject or I want you to speak on this subject. But the way they always do at Harvest, the Naughtons say to me, we want you to speak whatever you heard from heaven and whatever is on your heart. And that's what I want to do. And today God's given me the word that's called under siege. Under siege. I believe that there has been an incredible attack against the families at Harvest, against the ministry at Harvest, against the nation of England. They have been under siege. In 1992, there was a movie that came out in America that Steven Seagal starred in, and it was on the ship, the USS Missouri, and a terrorist group came in and boarded this ship and took over, and all hope looked like was lost, but there was one cook down in the galley that had made some mistakes, and they had busted him down to cook, but he was an incredible special forces SEAL. And so in this crisis, all of a sudden, it called for him to rally. And this one man, along with a few other people that got involved, freed the whole ship. And I just want to tell you that you today have been implanted in this situation, wherever you are, because you are God's anti-terrorist people that are going to break this siege, because the battle and the victory is guaranteed to the obedient. I really feel there is a momentum of obedience to those who follow God daily. Prophetically, I see Harvest as this great ship bringing hope to London, to England, and beyond. And the siege warfare from the enemy has made it seem like there's impossible situations. But I'm here to tell you, you are the special force that God has put strategically right there by Wembley Stadium. You have been trained and empowered by the Holy Spirit to have one of the greatest victories the kingdom has ever witnessed. Why would he put Paul and Joe Naughton, who by nature are incredibly spiritual and natural warriors, if there wasn't going to be a war? This war, what's happened in this past year or so, is so defined who is who in the kingdom. But I want to prophetically tell you, the siege warfare against you has already started to break apart and fall apart. Whenever I read the Bible, I always try to find myself in the story or find a character that I identify with. And so when I prayed over you this morning and yesterday, I believe I found Harvest in the Word of God. And for that, I want to take you to 2 Kings 6, and I'm going to start with verse 25. It says, now there was a great famine in Samaria. And you know, in the New Testament, the Samaritans were people from all nations and all different walks. Doesn't this sound like Harvest? And they were under a siege. Now listen to this. They were living on scraps. They were living in desperation. They were living on whatever crumb fell from the table. And these are desperate times, but I want to tell you, the enemy has put us in a desperate place, and desperate people are dangerous in the kingdom. Verse 26, the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, and he hears this woman crying out, "My lord, the king, help, help me." Can't you hear the cries across London, where you live, in the communities where you are? People are crying out for help. They're crying out for kingdom help. And the king asks, "What's the matter with you?" And she tells him a story that if it wasn't in the word of God, I would just go, "How is this possible?" She said, "I made a deal with my neighbor that today we would cook my child, my son, and eat my child. And then tomorrow we would cook your son and eat your son. I want to say to you today that the children, unborn and born, are at stake, and the enemy is trying to devour the seed. We must agree." Come on, Harvest, agree with me today that we agree an end to the siege. God has given you an incredible voice. I want you to say it out loud. I declare an end to the siege. Remember, a real believer would never sacrifice their children. I looked on stage today and to see Abby playing guitar, Busy playing bass, all the children up there, the people worshiping. We must realize that in the middle of the siege, we are not victims. We truly are the victorious. Now, I want you to see this. This is very important. In verse 32, Elisha was sitting in his house. The elders were sitting with him, and he saw what was going to happen before it happened. He saw that the king was going to send an ambassador, but it was all staged to cut his head off, to end his ministry, to end his influence. I want you to raise your hand this morning, and I want you to say, "May the spirit of Elisha fall on the leadership and the people of Harvest, that they would see their enemies and their plans and their strategies before it ever happened." I believe this is happening. It's already happening in your dreams and in your prayers. You should pray every night before you go to sleep, every morning. Let me see the attack before it comes. Verse 33, watch this. While he was talking, everything happened just like God showed him. This is not the time to quit. This is the time to realize we've been under siege. You watch the strategy of nation against nation around the world. They put an embargo on a nation, and they try to starve it out so it would come under its control. We will not come under the control. We will not come under the control of the enemy. I don't care what the siege looks like. The nation, the natural, is not our source. We have a source that the world not know, that doesn't know of. I come to you today with the word of God, that you were created for this time to win this battle, to restore faith and hope to God's people, the people who are hungry and they are looking for an answer. Now we go to verse 7 of 2 Kings. And Elisha says, "Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of Adonai. Tomorrow," listen to me. Are y'all listening to me, Harvest? I love you. Do you realize how quick this thing can turn around? Do you realize how quick there can be a vindication? How quick there can be a vindication? I want you to put your hand like this and go, "God, in 24 hours, can turn my situation from this to this." Completely turn around. Complete turnaround. He said, "This time tomorrow, wheat and barley, which you can't even buy at any price, will be sold for pennies." For pennies. I want to tell you The enemy wants us not to believe. The enemy wants us to believe there's no great turnaround. The supernatural is tried to be removed from the church. But I'm just telling you, we serve a supernatural God. We serve a God that is, he's not natural. He's completely supernatural. And when he sees the siege that the enemy has laid against you, he laughs. The Bible says he laughs at his enemies. Verse 2, then the officer whose hand the king was leaning on responded to the man of God. He says, what do you think? That the windows of heaven would open up? I'm going to tell you, and I know you've heard this scripture forever, but we are living in a 2 Chronicles 7:14 time. And I'm watching the announcements at Harvest. I'm watching your prayers. I'm watching your fasting. I'm watching you seeking God. And you know, he said, if you do these four things, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you a word. Harvest. Let me just tell you, I know my little sister, Prophet Kathy Letchner, that's in heaven. I know the words that she spoke over you. Man, I feel the Spirit of the Lord right now. The words that she spoke over you, every one of those words will come to truth, to pass. I know the words I have spoke over you. I know words great men, great women of God who've come and they've spoken over you. Those words will not return void. Those words have already been loosed, and there are the siege breakers. Now, a lot of times we think we've done things that have disqualified us. He said, if my people will do these things, they'll hear from heaven. You know that words created, this is a kingdom of words. Words created this whole earth. He said, number two, you'll be forgiven. Whatever mistakes you've made, let me just tell you something. We all make them. He wants you to understand the supernatural power of forgiveness. It's a new day. It's Isaiah 43:17-19. For behold, I do a new thing. Don't you perceive it? It's happening right now. And he will not only break the siege, he will heal the land. And we have limited that healing of England, healing our families, healing our bodies. But I want to tell you, when he talks about healing the land, he wants to show off his victory through you, his children. Are y'all hearing me this? About 3 or 4 years ago, I was ministering in Warsaw, Poland. And the person that was the curator of the museum said, would you like a private tour to my wife and I? And it was the Jewish-Polish Museum. That there's an exact replica of it in Israel. And I went in there and I saw the history of God's people. I saw where the word ghetto came from. And that's where they took 30% of the population of Warsaw and they jammed them in, the Jewish people, and they jammed them in this 2 square mile area, and then they took all their resources away. Can you say they were under siege? 83,000 people died of starvation and disease. And they would take people out of there, Jewish people out of there, down to the Holocaust, places that they would mass murder them. But I'm here to tell you, you can't keep God's people under siege. That place became the center of commerce. It was not long till those people were the advisors of the nation economically. I'm here to tell you, we watched it with the Jewish people through history. Every time you tried to put God's people under siege, they began to explode and rule and reign in favor and prosperity. Now, the great news is I had the honor of being asked to speak, and I'm getting to speak a word from God to you. The other side of it is you're responsible for this word. Once this is said, the word of God says, the man of God said, behold, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of any of it. I want you to say it out loud right now. I not only want to see the victory, I want to taste the victory. Say it. I not only want to see it, I want to taste it. I want the manifestation of it. I want my family. I want my ministry. I want my life living in this siege-breaking time. Now, I know COVID's bad, but it's not as bad as leprosy. And in verse 3, there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the gate, and they said, this is dangerous. Why should we sit here and die? If we try to go into the city, they have nothing for us. We said here, we're going to die. Why don't we just walk in to the enemy's camp? Why don't we just do something that is so incredible? Remember this, the greatest moves of God happen always among three groups of people, the poor, the minorities, and the oppressed. Now, does this not sound like harvest? This is the incredible collection of people from around the world. Desperate people are dangerous people. Harvest, you are dangerous. Dangerous. Verse 6, and Adonai caused the army of the Arameans to hear the noise of chariots, the noise of horses. There's a huge army coming after us. Let me tell you something. Like it was when the angel came to visit Joshua, he said, who are you? Joshua says, and he said, I am the commander of the Lord of hosts. I'm telling you today, the commander of the Lord of hosts is fighting your battle for you and with you. I'm just telling you, my God, have mercy. Obedience was just walk around Jericho seven times. The walls are coming down. The siege is over. Let's say it again. The walls are coming down and the siege is over. They got up and fled. The enemy fled. The enemy fled. They abandoned their tents. They abandoned their donkeys. What the enemy intended for evil, God turned for good. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. The Lord, our God, will fight for you. I really feel compassion for my enemies because if my spirit is right, he will vindicate me. I want you to get that. I want you to get that. If my spirit stays right with God, Pastors Paul, Pastors Joe, he will vindicate you. You will see the tax that the enemy has come against you. You're going to see turnaround. I'm talking now to the leaders, but you know the anointing falls down from the head all the way to the hem. And I'm going to tell you, the greatest anointing is at the bottom. He is going to vindicate you. I've watched him do this for me over and over again. Verse 8, the men with leprosy came to the camp, and they entered one tent, and they ate, they drank, they took the silver, they took the gold, they took the clothes. Then they went from tent to tent. They did this till they were completely full. They were completely rich. And they said, this is not right. We have to share this. Listen to me, Harvest. The blessings that God gives you is so that you can share with others. It's like when Jesus was in the boat and he helped them have the greatest catch of fish they'd ever had before. And you just see disciples start falling down and going, forgive me. The enemy has tried to cause a siege, but the people who cause recovery from the siege will be the leaders in the church, in the nation, in this world. How many of you believe, I'm getting serious right now, how many of you believe that within 24 hours, God could heal your body? How many of you believe that within 24 hours, God could turn your whole situation around with untold blessing? with untold prosperity. Because when the siege is broken, it's like prosperity rushes in like a flood. You say, I love you, Bishop. Well, what you say sounds impossible. Well, look throughout history. Was the Roman Empire broken? Was the siege broken? What about the German Empire in the two world wars? What about the siege of the Persian, Babylonian, Soviet Union, Alexander the Great? Whatever siege there was, God doesn't stand for it. God will not allow his people to be cut off from his blessings. So they came to the city, the gatekeepers, the lepers did, and they said, look, this is what's happening right outside of here. You realize God used poor, diseased lepers as the forefront and the pioneers to go in and to show the people of God what was possible. We sing this. Whose report will you believe? So the king gets up. And instead of believing in faith, he believed in his paranoia. Discernment and paranoia are two different things. They're two vastly different things. He said, look what the Arameans have contrived against us. They know that we're hungry. This is all a trap to get us to come out. Fear has always been Satan's greatest attack. After all, it's the opposite of love, which is what God is. There's a difference between shrinking back and listening. I'm going to tell you, and I know, Pastor Paul, you might not like this, but I've gotten to where I don't really listen to the news anymore because it is so it's so negative, and it's not the truth. You could tell it's a certain people who have certain beliefs, their take on things. Now, I know there are certain places that you could go to get truth. But I'm telling you, don't allow the words of the enemy to come in your ears and get you full of fear. Listen to me, Harvest. Harvest is a place where legends are made. Harvest is a church of heroes. Harvest is a church of pioneers. So the king says, well, take two chariots, and let's go out and just see. And they went there, and it was things just thrown. People in panic. When the siege was broken, the oppressors will always leave in panic. There was clothes and equipment and riches and things all thrown all over the ground. And they came back to the king. Harvest, can you see yourself in this story? You're not supposed to be fearful. You will see the scattered clothes, the trail of fear, and when the enemy is defeated and the siege is defeated, you will see a great run. And what you will do is pick up the bounty. Verse 16. So the people went out and they ransacked the camp of the Arameans. And sure enough, fine flour and barley was sold for pennies. God's word never returns void. How many of you have a prophetic word? Raise your hand. Raise your hand right now. I know that God has spoken sovereign prophetic words. It's like Pastor Paul, Pastor Joe, I can see like those words are just hovering in the atmosphere of Harvest. Many of you are carrying words that you have thought, could this really be true? I want to tell you, not one of those words will fall to the ground. I want you to say that out loud. Not one word that God sovereignly has spoke over me will fall to the ground. It shall surely come to pass. Now the king appointed an officer who had leaned to have, God bless you, to have charge of the gate. But as the people ran out because the siege was broken, they trampled the king, and he died at the gate, seeing the victory, but never partaking of the victory. Can you rehearse? And Pastor Paul, Pastor Joe, I'm about to close, but I really want at the end of this service, you guys to minister and rehearse some of the great words that God has spoke over this house. I want Harvest, you to turn to one another and tell each other different words that God has spoke. Maybe it was that God was going to bring your children back that are not living for God, or that God was going to give you things back that the enemy had stolen. I know you've personally heard from God. I can see in my mind the last time Pastor Paul, Pastor Joe, that Prophet Deborah and I traveled over there with Prophet Kathy. And I remember every time Kathy would come stand down at the altar, there would be a line of dozens and dozens and dozens of people waiting for words. Listen, every one of those words are going to come to pass. Every word Prophet Kathy gave over Prophet Deborah and me has come to pass, and it shall come to pass for you. God wanted me to speak to you this morning and tell you that the siege will fall, and the siege will fall soon. It's already started to crumble. I loved your announcements this morning. I love the way you did this. It looked like network television. It was so powerful. It was like a sound of victory in a midst of despair and unbelief. God has put this place, this harvest vision. Be strong in the Lord. I'm speaking to you, Harvest. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong. Be courageous, Harvest. I want Deborah for you to come back over here if there's something that you feel like is from the Lord. I know we've got about 5 or 7 minutes left. I want you to... Okay. I'm going to do this because my wife has asked me to do this. This is the condo that we live in. And this, I know you're going to be jealous. This is my wife wants to prophesy from out here.
No, where I just, if I can say, I don't know if you can see the water, but I was sitting here praying and the Lord said that.
Let's go back his side.
Okay, so you can hear.
Right. Okay, go ahead, baby.
The Lord said every word that he has given you, it's in you. It's in your mind, it's in your spirit, it's inside of you. But the Lord said you have to speak it out. You have to declare it. Every morning I go out there and the Lord said, release my spirit on the water.
Right.
Speak to the ground. Speak life to the ground. Speak to your atmosphere. And you have words in you that God has given you, but you have to release them into your atmosphere, into your world, into your life. You have to be a life giver, but let it come out of you. And I just want to pray right now, Father, in the name
of Jesus,
Father, I pray that our people will not be afraid of their own voice. They will know the authority in their voice that you speak from them and you want them to release into the atmosphere victory. Release into the atmosphere the words of life that
Hallelujah.
You I thank you, Father, for every word that has been given over Harvest Church and over every single individual, Father. I pray that you bring those words to their remembrance, that you cause recall, that you cause them to rise up and speak those words of life. I thank you for it, Father, and I bless your holy name. I bless your holy name. I bless Harvest Church. I bless every individual, and I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy.
I thank you, baby. I love you. Listen to me, Harvest. And especially you, Pastor Paul and Pastor Joe. Can I get that shot back where I can see the faces and I can see the people? There you go.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I just want to say to you guys, I travel all over the world, all over the world. This is such a special place. Are y'all hearing me? This is a place that's unlike, it's just unlike any place that I know. And you're there. And I know that there's always things that are shaking things. And this has been such a turbulent time. But Pastor Paul, you're a man. I revere you as a man of God. I'm not saying this. It's not patronizing words. These are words from the heart of God. There's just nobody else that I know that's like you, that has the integrity, that has the voice to break a siege. My son came into my office one day, and this was years ago, and he said, Dad, he's the pastor of the church now, as you know. He said, I see the spirit of Python around our church and the spirit of Python around you. What he was really saying is this church is under siege. And he said, Dad, you're the only one that has the rank to break it. The rank to break it. I'm here to tell you, good God, man, I feel the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the rank, Paul, to break it. You have the rank.
Yes.
In the kingdom to break it. You have the spiritual authority to break the siege. And people will know it was your voice that did it. And Joe Naughton, my God, have mercy. You are like a heroine in the kingdom. You are somebody that God has called for a time as this. And I'm not looking here. I'm not leaving all a harvest out right now. I'm speaking to every one of you here because you're all connected. You're a body. You're a body of people that are called and appointed for such a time as this. God will never be outdone. He'll never be outdone. And I really want you, Pastor Paul, Pastor Joe, to get up and just rehearse. Let the Holy Spirit just let you rehearse just a few words that was spoken over this house.
Yes.
That God will bring to your remembrance right now. And then, like my wife just said, guys, you rehearse those words on your way home. Or before you leave church, you rehearse the words that God has spoke over you. Those words are siege breakers.
Yes.
They are siege breakers. His word never returns void.
And you know, there's a power in getting it out of our head. We might be thinking it, but there's a power in releasing that word.
That's right.
The atmosphere. Don't be afraid of your voice. Don't be afraid to release that voice into the atmosphere because God has spoken it and you have him in you and he's ready now to move at this house. Amen.
I turn it over to you, Pastor Paul. I saw you pick the mic up. I know that the words are in your mouth right now. I hope that Clive allows me to hear what you and Joe are about to say, because Prophet and I are in total agreement with you.
Yes, and we're joined to you. We love you so much. We are part of you.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Go, Pastor Paul, go.
Praise God forever. Could you put your hands together for such a dear couple? Praise God, praise God, praise God.